You are listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. We are continuing to explore the book of Revelation, a series that was published by the Baptist Messenger and is available online at baptistmessenger.com. I'm pleased to be, in this episode, visiting with Dr. Alan Bandy, who is Rowena R. Strickland, Assistant Professor of New Testament and Greek at Oklahoma Baptist University. Dr. Bandy, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you, Brian. It's glad to be here.
Now, in your piece, you break down the historic premillennial view. And for our listeners, could you provide a nutshell version of what that means?
Certainly. Yeah, the historic premillennialism, as it's defined, is a term that developed really kind of in the 60s and 70s with the writing of George Eldon Ladd. But what he is simply doing is pointing back to what the earliest church fathers believed, St. Irenaeus, Polycarp, and several others, where they understood that the thousand years was a literal earthly kingdom that was going to come with the return of Christ. And so historical premillennialism, as rightly understood, is that there's a thousand years prior that Christ will return before the thousand years of his reigning on earth, which would be a earthly kingdom. And this actually fell out of popularity around the 400s and then following, with this view that no, it's not an earthly kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom. So with all millennialism, premillennialism kind of dropped off the radar for a few hundred years. And so historical premillennialism essentially asserts that there's going to be an earthly kingdom for a thousand years. Christ will return to earth, there will be an earthly kingdom, and then at the end of the thousand years, there will be a final judgment. How this differs, say, from other forms of, say, dispensational premillennialism is with the ordering of the events and how everything comes down, there might be disagreements with other branches of premillennialism. It's a little bit more open-ended in terms of the timing of the rapture and events taking place during the tribulation period. There might be some minor disagreements there, but overall we affirm Christ returns to earth, thousand-year kingdom, final judgment.
That is a great summary. And in your piece, you comment two things that I'd like to point out. First, mm-hmm. that in modern times, the premillennial position does enjoy pride of place, a majority surveyed, you could almost say, of evangelical Christians would hold to this view. And secondly, I liked how you drew a distinction from when you say premillennial, some people's minds rush to the Left Behind movies or books.
Right.
You drew distinctions that I think we should talk about here.
Yeah, certainly. Because a lot of people, you know, when they find out that I did my research in the area of Book of Revelation, I'm writing on it even now, that's the first question they almost always ask me is, well, what are you? Well, I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible. I believe it's inspired and inerrant, and it should be studied, understood, and applied to our life. And that's where I think we as Christians really need to center ourselves. But when it comes to questions of eschatology and the final ordering of events, you have a wide range of people who are premillennial, but they have, you know, certain clearly defined definitions of everything that's going to take place. Just this week, I was teaching in my apocalyptic literature class, and we were talking about the nature of fulfilled prophecy. And I believe, even though, say, the apocalypse is symbolic language, there uses a lot of pictorial images, it is describing future events. But the unfolding of those events, I'm not sure we can actually read in the newspapers. And I described it in the same way that the messianic prophecies about the first coming of Christ, we look back and we see how clear they are, right? He was going to be from Judah. He's going to be from from Bethlehem, that he was going to be a suffering servant. We see that. We see it so clearly because it's in light of his first coming. Mm. And not everybody, when Jesus arrived on the scene, clearly understood how he was a fulfillment of all those prophecies. But after the fact, it's 20/20 vision. We see it very clearly. And I think it's going to be the same with his return, that we can see there's certain prophecies, there's certain events that it's pointing to, but we won't know for certain exactly how it's going to unfold until he shows up. And then it'll be crystal clear. There'll be no question.
Amen.
It's kind of like when Moses asked God, when he's about to go back to Egypt, he says, "What's the sign that you're with me?" And God's response to him is, "When you worship me on the mountain with all the Israelites, then you'll know." So I essentially advocate caution in terms of the details surrounding the return of Christ, especially in light of modern political events, because they change rapidly. And so historical premillennialism, its big difference is it doesn't emphasize a pre-tribulation rapture.
Certainly.
In fact, historical premillennialists will typically put the what's understood as a rapture at the return of Christ, as opposed to 7 years preceding. So this would involve the church going through this time period. What I would say is there is one return of Christ, not two. And of course, I realize there's good godly discussions on that, and I'm not trying to be demeaning in any way. But it is an alternative to much of what we see in the Left Behind theology that's very popular, and God has used it. But I'm not entirely convinced that that's the best reading of Scripture.
That's a fine point. And in your piece, you underscore that point. The different differences with dispensationalists who might have what could be described as a secret return for the church, followed by a visible return. Now, you recommended some interesting readings. There were two, Gospel of the Kingdom, and then A Case for Historic Premillennialism. What about those books do you think could speak to the layman, the pastor, someone wanting to grapple more with this perspective, but also the Book of Revelation?
Great question. Well, the first, it was really hard to kind of think what books would be good for people, just, you know, your average Christian in a church, to help understand these issues. And I chose the book, A Gospel of the Kingdom, by George Eldon Ladd, primarily because during the 60s and 70s, he was in dialogue with people at Dallas Theological Seminary, John Wolver, Dwight Pentecost, who were the leading dispensational premillennialists of the day. And they were advocating that the kingdom of God was purely a Jewish kingdom, an earthly kingdom, when Jesus will come and rule and reign over Israel and Jerusalem. And what Ladd argues is that the kingdom is now already among us, but it's not yet fully realized. So when he says, "If I cast out demons by my finger, the kingdom of God is among you." He begins his gospel message and says the kingdom is near. And so in the message of Jesus, and it's a message of God's kingdom, his rule and reign over the earth, is a both now and not yet. So in a very real sense, the kingdom of God is already realized in the lives of believers who have submitted their life to the king and are living as citizens of the kingdom. But yet there's a future kingdom that will come where this kingdom is fully realized on earth. And so what Ladd does in this book is he helps show how this already not yet tension is played out in the Gospels. And what that then means for eschatology, or the study of end times, is a purely future-oriented view of the coming kingdom is not necessarily accurate. It's still a future coming kingdom, but there's a sense which the kingdom is already now among us.
I see. That makes sense. And A Case for Historic Premillennialism, an alternative to the Left Behind eschatology?
Right. This is a collection of essays that was put together. Craig Blomberg at Denver Seminary is one of the main contributors. And it's a series of essays around each one of those questions, right? What is historical premillennialism? How is it understood? What do we mean by that? And as well as questions about, you know, the timing of the rapture and other views. So it's kind of broken down into the larger topics of what premillennialism or historical premillennialism is. And then it goes into scripture studies, and there's some essays that focus on particular passages and how to, you know, read them and understand them. Both books, I warn you, are a little bit kind of weighty. I've had to work through them a couple of times to fully get everything, but I think they're helpful. Because my desire at the end of the day is not that people agree with me. My desire at the end of the day is that they're reading the Bible and studying it and allowing Scripture to shape how they understand these events and apply it to their lives.
Amen. That's well said. And we are talking to Dr. Alan Bandy, Assistant Professor of New Testament and Greek at Oklahoma Baptist University. And I did, Dr. Bandy, sense a great deal of unity among you and the other writers about the preeminence of Christ, the glory of Christ, and His return, and a real reverence for the Scripture and encouragement to all to read it, to imbibe it, to live it. And we thank you for your time on this broadcast on Messenger Insight, and would encourage our listeners to go to baptistmessenger.com for more. Thank you again, Dr. Bandy.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Blessings to you.
You too, brother.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program in the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, visit baptistmessenger.com or find us in the iTunes Store.